I was just observing not long ago, there seem to be two types of people in the world. See if you would agree with me. It seems that there are those people who pick you up, and then there are those folks who put you down. You can easily see the difference between them when you observe, because those who pick you up, when they get up in the morning, they get up with a smile on their face saying, "Rise and shine," you know. And then, of course, there are those that when they get up in the morning, they kind of roll out of bed and mumbling, "Rise and whine." You know, I don't know which one you are. You can usually tell the difference, though, because when you meet someone like that and they look at you, they say, "Well, nice suit. Did they not have one that fitted you in your size?" Of course, if it's the ladies, they'll usually come back with something like this: "Great dress. You think it'll be coming back in style this year?" Or if you get a haircut, they'll say, "Nice haircut. When will it grow back out?" Well, you know, you always kind of get this sort of thing. Even preachers, we tend to run into folks like that too. One lady, for instance, said, "You know, Pastor, I never truly understood suffering until I sat through one of your sermons." I think sometimes the only joy that comes is when those folks leave. But we all have experienced things like this. John Powell tells an interesting true story about visiting one of the islands in the Caribbean, where a young man was about to set sail for a round-the-trip voyage on a little small boat or dinghy-like boat. And he just happened to observe the crowd of people that were out on the end of the pier as this young fellow was getting ready to take off on his solo sail around the world. And the people were crowded up to the pier, and they were telling him things like, "You'll never make it. That boat is going to sink in the first big storm that comes. The sharks are going to get you. The sun will bake you." Everything they were saying was so negative. And John Powell said that his friend, who saw this thing out on the end of the pier, said, "I couldn't resist it." Said, I just ran out to the end of the pier as the little boat pushed away and started sailing toward the horizon. And I started jumping up and down and waving my arms. And I said, "Great job. Good luck. You're going to make it. This is great. You're going to do well there." So there you got this scene, you know, between those folks who were standing there telling them, the poor fellow, that he's not going to make it, and this one crazy guy who's waving his arms saying, "Go for it. Go for it. You'll make it. That's the way to do it." And I thought, you know, you don't have to be on the end of a pier to run into that same kind of situation. People, we tend to usually fall into one camp or the other. Those of us who are giving the upward sign and telling folks, "You can do it. God bless you. Great job. We're for you," that sort of thing. And then those folks who say, "You'll never make it. Nothing's going to happen." Well, as I thought about how you might be taking this or thinking this morning, I thought, here I'm sure I'm going to be talking to some folks who feel like, how do I stay up when I'm always being put down? Even young people sometimes experience that. You know, school is just starting. I have never understood, why is it that when you are in the third or fourth grade, the teacher will give you 10 questions, and you'll get 7 of them right, and yet she'll take a big red pencil and go, "Check, check, check. You know, you missed these." I got 7 right. I mean, why didn't I get big, you know, big marks there saying, "You got 7 right"? No, check, 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 you missed 3. I mean, life is like that. How do you stay up when folks are always kind of putting you down? And I wanted to find a word from God that would give you some hope and some encouragement in this direction. If you've already decided that you want to know God fully, you're going to trust His Word completely and thoroughly, and you're going to do what God shows you to do, and you're thinking about this morning, what does God have to say to me that will help me to stay up when others are constantly placing or putting me down? And I found it. I think I found the word for you and a word for each one of us this morning. It's in the words of our Lord Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount when he first began his preaching ministry. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." I see in the words of our Lord three or four things that he's teaching us to do when we feel the pressure of others putting us down about us. First of all, cultivate a sense of hope. Go into every experience and circumstance and situation that you face with a sense of hope. When you demonstrate the standards of Christ and when you live by the teaching of Jesus, you're going to be put down. Righteousness invites opposition and confrontation. The world doesn't see things the way that God sees things. And whenever you choose to live by the Spirit of God, those who choose to live by their own flesh and their own wits are going to be confrontational with you and oppose you. You're going to have to deal with that. I met a young lady the other day, and she was in the neighborhood here. She was complaining about something, and I just said to her, "Ma'am, you need to deal with it. It happens. Deal with it. You're going to have to accept the fact that confrontation comes, opposition comes. You have to accept that fact as we deal with it." It's so amazing how many times in Jesus' first sermon, he spoke about staying up when others are putting you down. One of his disciples, the Apostle Peter, and years later after the Lord's death and his resurrection, Peter, I'm sure, was recalling words that he heard the Lord say on the same subject, and he repeated them and wrote them in letters to Christians whom he also met and knew who were having a difficult time staying up too. Here are some of his words which reflect exactly what Jesus said about having a sense of hope. In one of his letters, Peter wrote, "If you are reproached or rebuked for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." That's the special benefit God gives to those who keep their eyes upon Him and upon His Word. Wherever we go and in whatever circumstance we find ourselves and whatever words that we hear, to remember that the Holy Spirit of God rests upon me. The Spirit, the glory of the Lord rests upon me. It makes every bit of difference when you run into negative situations in your life. Cultivate this sense of hope and awareness that wherever you are and whenever you're put down, blessed are you, Jesus said. Blessed are you, Peter reflected in his letter. God has a blessing for you. What is the blessing? The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God is resting upon you. Resting upon you. And that changes the way you look. Cultivate that sense of hope. You're not alone in this. God's Spirit is with you. His glory is upon you. What else difference could it make? Secondly, in these words that Jesus spoke here, cultivate a sense of God's presence. The words begin with, "Blessed are you." Now think about it. If there's a blessing, there has to be a blesser. And Jesus recognizes that. He's telling us, keep your eyes upon the blessor, the one who is there to bless you. Blessed are you. The very fact that God has a blessing prepared for those who are put down for his namesake means that there is a God who blesses. So find him, know him, trust him. And when you do that, it makes all the difference in the world in the circumstance that you're encountering. Literally, as you read through Scripture, you find words that teach us that we literally become partakers, that we actually become in some way a partaker through Jesus Christ of the blessedness of God. I'm reading again from Peter's letter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says, we become partakers of the divine nature. So cultivate a sense of God's presence. When you invite the presence of God into your life, you're not facing circumstances alone. You're not facing opposition alone. You're not dealing with put-downs alone. You have the very presence of God with you. Cultivate that sense of His presence, and it'll give you strength and a new direction in your life. The third thing in this statement of Jesus is to cultivate a sense of joy. Rejoice, Jesus said to those who were listening to Him that day. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Exceedingly glad. The Bible word for rejoicing or being happy is the word makarios. It means to be happy, fortunate, blissful, just overjoyed, full of hilarity. God wants His children to be filled with joy. Some of you don't look like you have that this morning. He does. You know, we were talking about this in the Bible study this morning. Sometimes I have the impression that people feel like that if I'm happy, God's not happy about it. He's not pleased with it. God wants you to be happy. How do you know that? He says, blessed are you. Be happy. Be filled with joy. So, blessed be God, the psalmist says, and as he writes about the presence of the Lord. There's joy available to those who trust in and follow after God. If there's joy, there has to be laughter. There has to be laughter. I mean, the Bible teaches us even that laughter does good, that it's good for your bones. A merry heart does good for us. So, we even look at the very miracles of Jesus. You recall where Jesus was when He performed His first public miracle or miracle that was recorded in Scripture? He was at a wedding. What is a wedding? It's a party. What do folks do at parties? They have fun. They are happy. They laugh. They are joyful. And so we should be joyful even when things around us are not exactly what we've wanted them to be. We still have that joy. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. If put downs make you narrow and bitter and sour, get rid of it. Let it go. You didn't get that from Jesus. Years ago, we were required to take an art appreciation course when I was going through school. Did they ever do that to you? I remember some of the famous artists. There was a 17th century artist by the name of Rubin who said that he could take his brush and with one single stroke he could take the tears and the frown off the face of a child and make it a laughter and fill it with joy. Well, that's nothing new. Jesus does that. One stroke of the Spirit of God and His love and His joy will take the saddest, most negative circumstance that you've ever intended and just put a sense of holy hilarity into it. Jesus changes our lives and fills us with joy. And so cultivate that joy. It's there. The joy of the Lord is with us. It makes a difference when people put you down if you're cultivating that joy. And then cultivate a sense of discernment. There's some things to recognize that are happening that you may not have thought about. There's strength in understanding and discernment. Let's read that passage again from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verses 11 and 12, where Jesus is speaking. He said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. A sense of discernment. Early in my ministry, I learned the value of feedback and understanding. I, One of the first churches that I served as a pastor was 150 miles from our home. So every Sunday morning, bright and early, about 6 o'clock in the morning, we'd get in our car, drive 3 hours to the little church and preach in the morning and then again in the evening and then drive 3 hours back in the evening. Well, you know, that gives you a lot of time on your hands, and my wife would be with me, and I learned to ask her. I said, well, how did the sermon go today? And I learned a lot of value about discernment about things. Sometimes it was sort of painful. Like the Sunday morning, she said, you know, the book of Acts only has 28 chapters, not 29 like you said in the sermon. You know, there's value in feedback, you know. And so I learned that there were things to do. And because of that, I enrolled in a homiletics class. Now, that's preacher talk for learning how to preach. We had a class on learning how to preach. And after the first few lessons were finished, the teacher, the instructor said, now the remainder of the course, we're going to ask you to prepare a sermon and preach to the class here of other young preachers, and the preachers will critique you. That means they're going to tell you what they think of the sermon. Do you know how hard it is to go on preaching after you've had 30 other guys tell you that your sermon was just barely passing? I learned some good feedback through the years and some discernment, from that sort of thing. Valuable lessons. I was able to see myself in the eyes of other people and how others look at me and how others listen and hear me. And it was like looking, going down a hall of mirrors as those individuals listened to the words that I had to say. And I learned how to communicate a little more effectively, I hope. And so we learn the value and the strength in discernment. The Lord Jesus here, when he's instructing his disciples about how to stay up when others put you down, he talks about the blessing and joy when we are put down for his sake. Listen to the feedback Jesus is saying. He says, listen to the feedback. When you're put down because of what you have stood for Christ, ask the Lord, is there something I need to correct here? If not, then you know it's something you need to wait upon the Lord's blessing, because the blessing is coming. He says, when you're put down for my name's sake, there's a blessing coming. Just wait for it. Now, when you just do something dumb, you know, the freshman from college was spelling that D-U-M. You've done something dumb. Well, then you know you need to correct it. But when you know it's right and God is with you, then there's the joy. And you listen to the Lord. Finally, when others put you down and you want to stay up, cultivate a sense of love and forgiveness. Jesus, in that same sermon, after he had spoken these words in verse 44, he said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Years ago, it was reported that when President Ronald Reagan was to speak following a speech by a South American president, one of his aides came to him very worried, upset, said, Mr. President, we're concerned because this gentleman from South America, he's going to be very negative and hostile toward the United States, and we don't know what you are going to be able to do. And President Reagan just leaned back and smiled. He said, I'm going to smother him with love. Smother him with love. Well, there's not a word exactly for that, that Jesus said here in this statement, but it's there. He said, love your enemies. Greet those who agree or disagree with you with a spirit of love and forgiveness. And when someone puts you down, the thing to do is to send out good thoughts and good words and understanding thoughts. And think about it in a discerning way. Why is this person speaking in this way? Why does he act that way? And it may well be that a good dose of loving kindness and loving words will save the day for your life, and what started out to be a put down becomes a lift up for you and for the other person as well. This is so practical. Years ago, I was beginning a ministry in a church, and there were just a handful of people, and we were meeting in a house, a 3-bedroom brick home on a busy block where people lived. And I was told the first week that I arrived there that the neighbors who lived on the other side of the church, the house we were going to use for a church, were very opposed to a church being next door to their home. And the gentleman there had started a petition asking the neighbors to ask the city, don't let these people have a church in our neighborhood and next door to us. And so I thought, the Lord said, you need to do something about this. So I walked over to my new neighbor and knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and I could tell he was not happy to see me. I introduced myself to him, and I said, I understand that you don't want to live next door to a church here in your neighborhood that's just a few feet away from your house. I said, I know exactly how you feel. I've had to live next door to 2 different churches over the past several years, and it's terrible. I said, just when we want to have a barbecue, the church next door wants to have a funeral. And just when our kids want to play outside, you want to have a wedding, and there are all these people. And not only that, when my wife hangs out the laundry, we have to be careful what she can hang on the line because the church is full of people in the churchyard. I said, I know exactly how you feel, but that's the way it is. And he said, well, I'm glad you feel that way. He became one of my best friends because he knew I understood how he felt, and I did. It's not always pleasant when you live next door to the church. That's what Jesus is saying here, that we're to love our enemies. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Finding a blessing, the blessing that God has when others put you down so that you can have joy in your heart, can only be done through the constant, continual cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. Cultivate a sense of His closeness. Stay near to the blesser. Start with that vertical relationship that we have with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus Christ to be the control of your life, the one who guides you and leads you by His Spirit and His presence. And all of these things will be yours. The blessing, the joy, the peace. No, it won't take away the put downs. There will always be those folks who get up mumbling, rise and whine. But you'll have a different attitude about the way you hear it and the way you respond to it in your life day by day. My prayer this morning is that you've already made that decision to know Christ and allow Him to be the one in charge of and in control of your life. This morning, after we talk with God a few moments here, and we come to the conclusion of this morning in worship and sing a hymn together, I want to stand here near the front and invite you today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, to admit that you cannot do it alone. You can't stay up without His presence and His hand holding you up. And to come and stand with me a moment and say, Pastor, this morning I've decided to follow Christ and let Him be the Lord of my life. There may be some other decision you've chosen to make today, to join in the fellowship of this body of believers. You come and just share that with us. Let's pray, and as we do, you prepare to make known your decision this morning. Father, thank you for this special time. Lord, thank you for keeping us up when others would place their hand upon us and our circumstances to keep us down. Lord, I pray that in every circumstance, we will walk with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, in faith believing. Lord, have your way in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this closing hymn, please take this opportunity today to share with those who are here your decision to allow Christ to be the Lord of your life and be your guide and your help in what you do. As we pray, as we sing, you just open your heart and share with the Lord what it is that you've decided to do and how you would allow Him to be in control of your life. Let's stand as we sing together our closing hymn.
Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting
much this morning for your presence, your attentiveness to God and His Word. And just remember, as you trust God through Jesus Christ, He will keep you up when even others around you may be trying to put you down. He'll give you that joy. Blessed are you. His Spirit of glory and His Holy Spirit are with you. How else could you be but anything but up with those kinds of blessings? Take a moment, if you would, to be seated, and let me just share one or two thoughts for the remainder of the day here. We're going to meet again.